Columbia brings you Romance. Tonight, A Quiet Wedding. And here is Frank Gallup to set the stage for tonight's tale of romance.
Good evening. This is Frank Gallup, your host for the evening, to guide you through the pages of the thrilling love stories of the past, the tender love stories of today. Tonight I bring you Betty Winkler and Frank Lovejoy in Quiet Wedding by Esther McCracken, adapted for radio by Gene Holloway. It's a story not so much of marriage itself, but of the hectic times just before the wedding, the hours and days and weeks of feverish preparation, all leading up to the final scene. The quiet wedding in the conventional setting. The church banked with flowers. The familiar march from Lohengrin. The turning of heads and the hushed, excited voices.
Oh, my dear, isn't she the most beautiful bride?
Oh, it's all so lovely. I think I'm going to cry.
When you're a spectator at a quiet wedding, you're unaware of all the trouble that led up to it. Trouble that begins in such a simple way. For instance, like this.
Janet, I'd like you to meet Dallas Chater, an old friend of mine. Dallas, this is Janet Roy.
Hello, Janet.
Hello, Dallas.
May I have this dance?
I'd love it.
It doesn't seem like trouble as the days and weeks go by. On the contrary.
Dallas, isn't it a beautiful night? Look at that moon.
I'm sorry, I haven't any time to spare for the moon tonight. Penny.
Penny?
What are your thoughts? You were a million miles away just then.
I'm not sure my thoughts are for sale.
Mine are. And not for a penny, just for your attention. I was thinking that in all my life, there's never been a girl like Janet. Janet makes living seem a lot more fun than I ever thought it could be. And Janet does funny things to my heart action and my knee action and my head action. Everything is beautiful when she's with me, and everything's a little empty when she's not.
Dallas.
So I've been trying to jack up that courage I thought I had so much of before I met you to say that. What are you doing tomorrow night, the night after that? And what are your plans for the rest of your life?
Well, tomorrow night I have a date. Of course, I could break it. And the night after that, I'm free. And as for the rest of my life, I'm open to suggestion.
Will you marry me, Janet?
Yes, if you'd like me to.
Darling, darling.
We'll have such a wonderful wedding. A quiet wedding, but so lovely.
To the beholder, weeping in the third row, the quiet wedding is a thing of transcendent beauty. The bride, a vision in satin and lace. The bridesmaids, fragile apparitions in tulle. The groom, a proper background for the splendor that's marching toward him. And the whole 20 minutes, something spent in heaven, where marriages are undoubtedly made. The bride thinks of it like that all during her schoolgirl years. But as her actual wedding day approaches, her attitude begins to change. At least, that's the way it was with Janet Boyd the day before her wedding.
Oh, I wish I were in Tibet. Way back in the mountains of Tibet.
Janet!
I'm sorry, Mother, but that's the way I feel.
Did you lunch with the bridesmaid, Janet?
Yes, Aunt Mary, I lunched with the bridesmaid.
And you saw their precious little hats or caps or halos, whatever they are?
I certainly did.
Well, what's so funny about that?
The flowers, the shape, but mainly the bridesmaids' faces.
Well, the flowers and the shape can be changed.
It'd be a waste of time without changing the faces. You know, the Barton girls are dears, but I don't think their faces were ever meant to go with flowers.
Oh, Janet, this is most upsetting.
Mother, you know, let's talk about them. They'll be all right.
But what's wrong? wrong with them, dear? Are they too high or too low?
Look, darling, I've had bridesmaid faces in four different varieties from four different points of view all afternoon. I just don't care anymore.
Janet, is Dallas coming this evening?
Yes, Aunt Mary, I think so.
Well, lots more presents have arrived. You haven't even looked at them.
Oh, dear. Aunt Mary, did you hate getting married as much as I do?
Hate it? Oh, my dear, I reveled in it. I was the important member of the family for the first time in my life. And I had 12 pairs of stockings without a darn in one of them.
I suppose the stockings are something in its favor.
Now, Janet, Mother's not going to listen to any more of this talk. I'm upset enough without getting more upset. I'm going out to the kitchen.
Aunt Mary, I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married at all. I can't imagine whatever made me think I did.
You're just tired, my dear.
You bet I'm tired. I'm tired of trying on dresses and arguing about underclothes and trains and hotels. I'm even more tired of watching the family assemble. You'd think they were coming to a wake.
Well, in another 24 hours, they won't matter at all.
That's just it. They will. You know, all this fuss seems to have killed something lovely between Dallas and me. When I'm with him now, I can't find anything to say to him. He's just the person I've got to go through this ghastly farce with.
Well, you're not the only person who's felt like that.
I think this being decked out for mating is positively indecent. I wish we'd run away when we first found out that we loved each other. Then we might love each other still.
My dear, when this wedding's over and you're away from everybody, you'll find you're just as much in love with him as ever.
No. No, I don't think we will. We're separated by miles and miles of white satin and bridesmaids' hats and...
Hello, darling. Well, you look tired.
Oh, hello, Dallas.
Hello, Aunt Mary. How's the girl?
Oh, splendid, thank you. Well, if you'll excuse me a moment, I want to find Mildred. She wandered off a few minutes ago and hasn't been heard of since.
It isn't necessary to leave us alone, you know.
That's right, Aunt Mary. Sit down, have a drink. I'll turn on the radio. All we need is music and soft lights, good company.
That's a pretty piece. What's the name of it, Janet?
Where or When?
I always liked that piece. They used to play it all the time at school dances. I was going with a girl named Mabel, and it was a favorite of hers.
Oh, indeed. Was she pretty?
Oh, yes, yeah, perfectly stunning. A tall blonde with a walk like a tiger. Mm. Boy, I really went for her.
Really? It's a shame I'm not a blonde.
Oh, you'll do the way you are.
Well, don't do me any favors.
Hey, what's eating you lately?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, I think you two have had quite enough of my society for a while. There are a few things I really must attend to.
Haven't we had just about enough of this music? Hello, darling.
I suppose you called her darling, too.
Who?
That where or when girl.
I'll be darned, you're jealous.
Don't flatter yourself.
Why, you silly little kid, you know you're number one on my heart parade.
Yes, I must be, if just listening to Where or When on the radio sends you into rhapsodies over somebody else.
I didn't marry her, did I?
You probably wanted to.
If I had, I would have.
Oh, you're pretty sure of yourself, aren't you?
Oh, darling, I love you so much. Come here.
Please don't touch me.
Well, that's a charming attitude, I must say. What's got into you, Janet?
Nothing.
Have I done something?
Oh, of course not. What could you have possibly done?
Well, it's certainly hopeless trying to talk to you when you're in this mood.
If I were you, I wouldn't try. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and help Mother.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop talking like a book on etiquette. Oh, Janet, look, I love you. I can't bear to see you looking like this.
Please don't get sloppy, Dallas.
Why, you bad-tempered...
Oh!
I'm not sorry I slapped you. You needed it.
You contemptible beast.
That's fine. Now we got things on a more conventional footing. Now you say I hate you and you burst into tears.
I wouldn't give you that much satisfaction.
Oh, Janet, I wanted to ask
later,
you...
Later, Aunt Mary.
Well, what's wrong with her?
I slapped her face.
That was tactful of you.
Well, you have no idea how infuriating she was.
Oh, yes, I have a pretty good idea. Dallas, are you... You are in love with her, aren't you?
Oh, I think so. I suppose so.
I don't know.
Well, that doesn't sound any too promising.
Oh, I love her all right, but lately we seem to be miles apart. I can't reach her. And then I get mad and I say things I had no intention of saying.
Shall I tell you what's worrying her?
I wish you would.
It's the wedding. There's so much wedding that the fact that you love each other seems to have got lost. How often have you seen her alone during the past week?
Oh, practically never. She didn't seem to want to be alone with me.
Look, you take the advice of someone who knows far more about the workings of a female mind than you do at the moment. Come back later this evening, get her alone somehow, and don't let her talk until you've been making love to her for at least 5 minutes.
Oh, that's no good. I've tried it.
Well, I thought you said you slapped her.
Yeah, well, so I did, but that was after...
After you let her talk.
Oh, it's hopeless to try and get her alone.
Well, you could drag her off by the hair of her head, couldn't you? You'd better do something like that, Dallas, or there may not be any wedding. How about it?
Well, I don't know, but... I'll try, Aunt Mary. I'll try my best.
Father, there's something... look, what would you say if I told you I changed my mind and didn't want to get married tomorrow after all?
Janet!
Mother, please.
I'd say, then don't.
What? Do you mean that, Father?
Oh, she's tired and nervous, Arthur. She doesn't realize what she's saying. For heaven's sakes, don't encourage her.
Well, the idea has its appealing side. At least I wouldn't have good old Cousin Bob on my hands tomorrow.
Look, Father, I'm very serious, so please don't say anything you don't mean.
All right, my dear, I won't. I'll say just this. Once the guests get to the church tomorrow, you must go through with it. But you can change your mind any time up to then.
Oh, Arthur, dear, don't. You're making me feel perfectly miserable, and you know it's all nonsense.
I don't know any such thing. I mean every word I'm saying.
Oh, Father, you're a darling.
Yes, you're right. I am.
Of course, I might run away and get married.
Oh, no, you don't, young woman. A romantic refusal at the last moment is one thing, but sneaking off and leaving everything flat after all the money I've paid out is another. No. If you marry Dallas at all, you marry him tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock wearing your full regalia. A dress costing $162.50, complete with slippers, veil, etc., etc. And standing afterwards under a marquee that cost $50 to erect. Eating a handsome lunch at $2 a copy. Drinking domestic champagne at $5 a bottle. With the exception of 3 bottles at $6 each for the bride's father and his special friends. In short, my dear, behaving rationally. After all, I've paid plenty for this quiet wedding. And if there's any marrying to be done, I think that I'm entitled to my money's worth.
My Arthur, you're wonderful.
Yes, you're right, I am. What do you say, Janet?
Oh, I'll have to think about it, Father. I'll have to let you know.
Hello, Janet. How's my kid sister?
Marcia, how wonderful. I thought you weren't going to be able to get to the wedding.
Well, I just suddenly made up my mind and came.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Janet, you might as well know it now as any time. I'm leaving Jim.
Leaving him? Marcia, I thought you were so happy.
Well, I'm not. As far as I'm concerned, marriage is worse than prison. Did you ever stop to think what it's like to be married to one man, the same face day in, day out, the same voice, the same mannerism? Why, after a while, I swear you'd commit anything from murder to suicide to get away.
But you were in love when you married him.
No, Janet, no, I wasn't. I knew on my wedding day that I was making a mistake, but, well, I was too much of a coward to call the whole thing off. Why, all he talked about the day before we were married was some other girl he used to know. Can you imagine that?
No, I certainly can. Well, why did you just decide to leave him now after all this time?
I'll tell you why. I'll give you one example. Every night after dinner, we have coffee. Nothing unusual in that. But every night when it comes, Jim says, "Ah, coffee," as if we'd never had it before. Night after night after night. And that isn't all. Dinner is at 7:30 every night. Every single night, 7:30. That's when he likes it. And yet when the gong sounds, he always looks at his watch and says, "By Jove, I must wash."
Well, I suppose that would get on your nerves in time.
You bet it does. For the last few months, I've lived in a quivering state of nerves, just waiting for evening to come. Waiting for, by Jove, I must wash. And, coffee. Well, if that's marriage, they can keep it. It's not for me.
It certainly doesn't sound very attractive.
Janet, I've been worried about you. Are you sure? I'd hate to have you make the same mistake I did. Are you absolutely positive?
Yes. No, I don't think... Oh, Marsh, I don't know what to do. I'm so miserable.
Well, if you have any doubt at all, you sit down this instant and write that young man a note and tell him there isn't going to be any wedding until you are sure.
I suppose that is the sensible thing to do. I've been up here for hours trying to make up my mind.
It's the only sane thing to do if you have any doubts whatever. After all, Janet, this is for the rest of your life.
Yes. The rest of my life. Marsha, I think I will write a note. It's the only thing to do.
Oh, you poor kid. You poor little kid.
Thank goodness I found you at last, Jenna. What on earth do you mean writing me this note saying you want to break everything off?
Well, you certainly gave me every reason to believe that you felt the same way I did. You don't think you can go around punching me and get away with it, do you?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry about that, Janet. Janet, you remember that funny little cafe where we used to dance in the basement?
Yes. Yes, of course I do.
You remember one night when we were there, we swore to each other that if anything ever came between us, we go off on our own and give ourselves a chance to discuss things and put them right?
Yes. I remember that.
But you didn't do it. You sent me an icy little note instead.
We can't go off alone now. It's too late.
No, it isn't. It's never too late. Come along.
I won't.
Janet, this is important. Janet, if you don't want to marry me, you don't, and that's that. All I'm asking is that we give ourselves a chance. We can't talk here. Janet, you've got to come with me. You've just got to. Will you please?
All right, Dallas. I'll go with you.
You always were the best dancer I ever knew.
I'll get by as long as I have you. Dallas, isn't it a coincidence that they should play this piece? That's the first piece we ever danced to.
I asked them to play it.
Why?
I wanted to dance with you again to it. It filled our hearts once. I wanted to do that again.
Darling, don't hold me so close. What'll people say?
Well, they'll say that we love each other.
Oh, Dallas, it's wonderful to be by ourselves. I feel much better. Really, I do.
And so do I. We've danced long enough. Let's go out on the balcony and look at the moon.
All right. Uh-oh. There's that piece again. Do you hear it, Dallas?
Yeah.
This time, I don't want you dreaming over your lost love.
I've never loved anyone but you, Janet, and I never will. You know, I'm not even sure who it is that song does remind me of. I just said that it was someone beautiful because you were acting so stuffy. I really like it because it reminds me of a school, the old gymnasium and the school dance band. All the fun we had when we were younger.
Really, Dallas? Is that the only reason?
On my honor.
Darling, it's a perfectly beautiful piece, isn't it?
Janet, I've got an idea. What do you say we get married?
I don't know. It's worth a little thought.
Just look at that moon and those stars. Look at all those lights, hundreds of houses full of married people, sitting together and planning their lives. Life looks pretty good from here, doesn't it, Angel?
From where I sit, it looks wonderful. Dallas, let's go and look at our house, the one we plan to live in.
All right, let's go. Where is that confounded light switch?
Try a little higher up here.
Ah.
There.
How do you like it, Dallas? You've never seen it with the furniture in.
It's a castle. It's mine. I'd recognize it anywhere.
It's as cold as a real castle.
Well, there's a fire laid. I'll light it.
Good.
There. Now, let's sit down beside our first fire. Let me put my arm around you.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable?
Very.
Let's pretend. Let's pretend it's our 10th wedding anniversary. We're entertaining all our friends. Now, let me see. Anne and Jack are sitting over there on the love seat. Even Walter on the Davenport. And Claire and Frank on the floor in front of the fire.
Oh, then we can't have Anne and Jack. They don't speak to Claire and Frank.
Oh, all right. Well, then Gertrude and Fred are on the love seat. You just cooked the chicken dinner. I've carved it.
And the dishes are piled in the sink.
And your hair's a little tumbled the way it is now, and your cheeks are flushed. I'm thinking how very much I love you and how good the years have been. And somebody laughs too loudly, young Chris starts to cry in the nursery.
Dallas, no, not a boy. I want a girl.
Oh, I want a boy. Someone to play golf with, wrestle, and take fishing.
I want a girl to wear pigtails and play with dolls and help me in the kitchen.
That would compromise and have both.
Sounds like fun. Oh, Dallas, I'm so glad we came here.
So am I.
If you only knew what it's been like at home this week. Telephone ringing and parcels everywhere. Endless fitting. Well, even my bedroom's been full of trunks and clothes and caterers and florists and expressmen popping in and out. It was horrible. But now, isn't it funny? I don't feel miles away from you anymore.
Mm. Look. Don't you suppose that this whole thing's been getting on my nerves, too?
Your nerves?
Oh, I suppose it never occurred to you that I might be suffering from nerves. Can't expect a man to go around bursting into tears.
Well, thank you.
Oh, now, don't start that again.
Oh, Dallas, stop being reasonable.
I will if you'll stop being unreasonable.
All right, darling. Turn on the radio, will you? It's right behind you there.
Okay, sweetie. That song again. As long as I have you.
Oh, Dallas. Dallas.
All right, go ahead, darling. Cry your eyes out if you want to.
Why have you been such a beast to me lately?
Oh, I'll be darned.
When I don't get excited, I'm the one who's going to be reasonable now. I knew all along that I was being silly and unreasonable, but I couldn't tell you what was the matter. You were so far away.
Oh, I wasn't really far away. I was just scared to death. I realized suddenly that I was taking on a rather large responsibility. And then it was a busy week at the office.
Oh, I've forgotten all about your office.
Oh, you mustn't ever do that. The office is very important. I shall expect you to minister to my comforts when I come home tired from the office. All the husbands and stories come home very tired from the office. Don't you dare forget about it ever in the future.
I won't, Dallas.
Oh, then I take it there is going to be a future?
I take it there is. Darling, do you know you haven't kissed me yet?
That's easily fixed.
Dallas, do you love me?
Madly.
And will you love me forever?
Until the end of time.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad. Isn't it funny how you can be so utterly happy when you've been so utterly miserable?
Oh, it's very funny.
Dallas, I don't want to go home tonight. I want to stay right here. I'm afraid to go back there. We're all right now, but our nerves are still a little raw, and people keep twanging on them at home. We can go back tomorrow and let them have their quiet wedding.
You're sure now? You're happy now?
Oh, darling, I never was so sure of anything in my life. But don't make me go back, Dallas. Not until morning. I'll be fine in the morning. You can have the bedroom and I'll stay here on the couch. I'm almost sleepy already. All right?
All right, darling. Whatever will make you happy. Okay, Janet, the coast is clear. There's no one in here.
I'll have to hurry. They'll be looking for me.
Oh!
Shh! Oh, darling.
I don't make so much noise. I think everyone's still asleep.
Oh, they'll wake up soon enough. Janet, in a few minutes, all sorts of things are going to come crowding in on you again. People fussing and carrying on. Sure you're going to be all right?
Perfectly. I'm just thinking that in a few hours, we'll be married.
I love you very much, you know.
Oh, Dallas, I love you, too.
Well, better not let your mother see you two down here pitching woo so early. She wanted you to sleep late so you'd be an extra beautiful bride.
Good morning, Daddy.
Morning, sir.
Go on now, Janet. Scoot. We have a lot of things to do. This is your wedding day, as I recall. Or am I mistaken?
I'm sorry I worried you yesterday, Father. I do want to get married very much. I didn't work out into me.
Oh, nerves, that's all. Your mother threw the family album at me the day before we were married. I'll carry this car to my grave.
Did it upset you?
I should say not. Then I knew that she really loved me.
Goodbye, Dallas. I'll see you a little later.
Can't wait.
Oh, Janet. Mm-hmm. You'd better mess up your bed a little before your mother sees it.
Daddy, you're wonderful.
That's right. I am.
Don't forget, Janet, we have a date. Don't be late.
I won't, darling. You'll find me waiting for you at the church. I know now that what I've wanted all my life is just a quiet wedding.
A few words between a boy and a girl. That's how the trouble always starts. And here's how the trouble ends.
I, Janet, take thee, Dallas, to my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forth.
Yes, a lot of trouble ends that way. Or does it? This is Frank Gallup, your host for the evening, ringing down the curtain on tonight's performance of Romance, a program produced each week by Columbia to bring you the great romantic plays and love stories of all time. The play tonight was Quiet Wedding by Esther McCracken, adapted for radio by Gene Holloway. Quiet Wedding was directed by Mark Slove, with script supervision by Albert R. Perkins. The music was conducted by Charles Paul. The players included Betty Winkler as Janet, Frank Lovejoy as Dallas, and Jean Ellen, Grace Coffin, Ethel Ramey, and Alan Drake. Next week at the same hour, we shall bring you another romance. Till then, till curtain time next week, this is your host, Frank Gallup, saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
And now CBS presents Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. Yes, this is me on the 16th hour of our war bond drive. And in case anybody should ask you, I'm still just as fresh as a daisy and wanting before my voice gives out to sell lots more bonds. In 15 minutes, I'm going to introduce a distinguished guest. A little later on, I have a story to tell you. But right now, I want to make my report to the nation. I want to bring you up-to-date information on the very latest figures in this bond drive. The dollars are piling up. Bond purchases are sweeping the country. For you know what, to sweep the axes off the map. First, leading all the rest at the moment, is station WGAR in Cleveland, Ohio. $5,888,875. Second, station KOIN in Portland, Oregon. $4,415,150. Third, station WABC in New York City. $4,015,200. Fourth, station WBT in Charlotte, North Carolina, $2,247,950. And fifth, station WERC in Erie, Pennsylvania, $2,243,700. These are the outstanding sections according to the reports before me now. I hope soon that we'll hear from those other stations, those other cities and towns I know are buying bonds. We're waiting for those figures. Our total now is $29,198,025. But we know it's more than that. Let's get those totals in, folks, and let's keep right on buying those bonds. Are you with me, America? Good. Will you buy another bond?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.